And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. More from them coming up a little bit later on this morning. Hopefully you enjoyed your Independence Day, 4th of July weekend. For the most part, pretty nice across southeastern North Carolina until we got into latter parts of Saturday and Sunday as Tropical Storm Chantel made landfall near Lynchfield Beach, South Carolina. That happened early yesterday morning, bringing with it heavy rains and winds as it moved inland across portions of eastern and central North and South Carolina. This was a very low-grade tropical storm, but even with that, still some major chaos unfolding across our state, where earlier this morning, around the 4 o'clock time, crews out in Durham had to make multiple water rescues after a river up there, the Eno River, crested at more than 25.5 feet, causing some major flooding in portions of northern Durham, causing crews to have to go in there and do some rescues. Here across our area, the National Weather Service confirmed that a very weak tornado touched down in New Hanover County yesterday morning, an EF0 that was estimated to be on the ground for about 4 minutes, so right around 4:27 a.m. yesterday morning. This was a very quick spin-up tornado, and this is the path, the damage path in northern New Hanover County. This, you can see this is a College Road turning into Interstate 40 here on the right side of your screen for those watching, for those listening, apologies. This is in the Kings Grant area. You can see this teal line, the storm moving across. This is North Kerr Avenue right next to the northern portion of the airport here in Wilmington before it crossed through there. Predominantly just tree damage, some minor injuries, no injuries at all, some minor home damage, shingles and things of that nature, some trees uprooted as this storm passed in the area between 4:27 and 4:31 a.m. Eastern time yesterday in the Kings Grant towards the Wrightsboro area, leaving some very, very minor damage, but damage nevertheless. And again, this is a good reminder, while this storm did not cause any serious destruction or chaos, at least in our area, the Atlantic hurricane season does run all the way through November. We are still in the very early parts of the season. We don't see the peak of the hurricane season here for at least another month. So good time with everything this past weekend to make sure that you've got your hurricane kit, all of the supplies that you need, everything for at least a couple of days of some food and water, medicine, all of that fun stuff. Make sure you get that available and have that available as we continue through the rest of the Atlantic hurricane season. Well, with all of that, we turn to the big political story of the morning. This is the announcement over the weekend, I should say, that Elon Musk is officially starting a third party. It's called the America Party, and this is what the billionaire businessman had to say. By a factor of 2-1, you want a new political party, and you shall have it. When it comes to bankrupting our country with waste and graft, we live in a one-party system, not a democracy. Today, the America Party is formed to give you back your freedom. And I'm very curious in how this is all, of course, going to play out in the weeks and months and potentially years ahead as Elon Musk, a guy that just a year ago was getting involved in politics. I mean, I think that's an important thing to state. And I'm not anti-Elon Musk, but I think it's important to paint a full picture as to what is going on here. You know, July of last year, Elon Musk was starting to get involved in politics, maybe a little over a year. Let's give him 13, 14 months. This is a guy who previously was not involved in politics, unless you include, you know, taking hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government for Solar City and for Tesla and various subsidies for all of his different businesses. Unless you consider that being involved in government and being involved in politics, Elon Musk was never involved. He got involved. He cozied up to President Donald Trump through the latter parts of the 2024 election, and I think in large part played a factor in some of the successes that President Trump had. Now, Elon Musk wants to claim that he secured the election for Trump. There is no evidence to back that up. And one thing that I believe, strongly believe, and I've mentioned this before, that Elon Musk is probably going to find out sooner rather than later, is that people like and appreciate Donald Trump for a variety of reasons that they don't necessarily Elon Musk. And I think the largest is Trump's ability to communicate, Trump's ability to speak to the American people. His ability to communicate and to truly resonate with the American people is what I believe makes him such a strong, not only politician and candidate, but an incredibly strong president, right? He's speaking to the media when he's traveling, sometimes like four or five times a day, right? On a helicopter, speaking before them, leaving the helicopter, getting onto Air Force One, speaking to the press again, speaking to the press on Air Force One, then speaking to them wherever he lands. Then it's the same thing, but in reverse order. Makes his way back to the Joint Base Andrews, gets off the plane, talks to the media, takes Marine One back to the White House. Same thing, gets off the helicopter, talks to the press, goes back inside the White House. He talks to the media constantly. And of course, the media, if they were actually interested in doing their job, they would promote what the president is saying and allow that message to get out to the American people. But with the incredibly dishonest media apparatus that we have, unfortunately, the media apparatus that we unfortunately just live in, there's really not a whole hell of a lot we can do about it. Most of that is ignored, not covered, maybe a quote or a sentence here or there, but the greater context is lost. Thankfully, social media platforms like X, which Elon Musk, of course, owns, allows that full message, allows that full narrative to get out. But people have loyalty to President Donald Trump. They believe that he is fighting for them, fighting for their interests. And I do not believe, and all of this is subject to change, but as I'm calling, the scene as I see it unfolding in front of our eyes right now here on July the 7th, I don't think Elon Musk has that same thing. Do people like Elon Musk? Some do. I mean, his favorability and his polling number has not been incredibly high. This guy, of course, once the darling of the left, is now the enemy of the Democrats. So he's completely pissed off that contingent. I mean, you've got people riding around in their Teslas, bleeding heart liberals that expressed in years past their love for Elon Musk, are now driving their Teslas around with stickers and bumper stickers on them that say, I bought this before Elon Musk got involved, or I bought this before Elon Musk started working with President Trump. So that group is gone. The Democrats and these far left progressive radicals that adored him, they have completely cut ties with Elon Musk. They're gone. Then you look at the right. He has decided over the last couple of weeks and about a month or so now that he was going to get into a sparring match with President Trump. You know, back just about a month or so ago, he went on social media and indicated that the president essentially was a pedophile. I mean, he has alienated a lot of the MAGA base, which is where the loyalty is with the president. So you've got a contingent of the Republicans, the MAGA movement, that hates Elon Musk now because he completely crashed out back about a month or so ago and started going on these ridiculous rants on social media after he decided and after his time was up as a special government employee, which, again, is a set time limit. It's 100 days. That time was up. Trump thanked him, expressed his gratitude and thankfulness that Elon Musk sacrificed for 100 days to get in front of and lead the Department of Government Efficiency. We watched some of those comments as they unfolded in the White House. Nothing but positive words, nothing but positive commentary from Trump, only to have Elon Musk go days later and just completely freak out on social media. So he's alienated a lot of the MAGA base. And so you've got what I would describe as probably a relatively small, now it's still a large group, we've got 300 million people in the country, but a relatively small contingent of people who have a lot of trust and a lot of faith in Elon Musk. I'm not stating that I do or don't. I'm just kind of laying out the political spectrum and where I see things falling right now. His inability to, and I shouldn't say work with Trump, because he did in fact work with the president, but the fact that he took those comments not only public, but started to indicate that the president was somehow implicated in the Jeffrey Epstein files, alluding that the president was taking part in some sort of illegal activity with minors, was an incredibly stupid decision by Elon Musk. He deleted those comments, walked it back, apparently had a phone call with Trump a couple of days after the fact in an attempt to mend things together. And I think that's what I find so frustrating about all of this. Elon Musk and Donald Trump are a very powerful tag team. They are a very powerful relationship. And for the most part, it seemed as if they had a very good relationship when he was involved in some of the ongoings in the White House, specifically leading that DOGE effort. And the fact that when his time was coming to an end as a special government employee, he just decided that he was going to go seemingly scorched earth on President Donald Trump, I really don't understand what he was thinking. I don't really understand what his goal and his objective was. Now, we'll get into the big, beautiful bill and some of the more recent criticism that Musk has had for Trump. That's fine. But this has been a fractured relationship seemingly for some time. And again, the political loyalty in this country, at least on the right, lies with President Trump. This is a guy that didn't just pop up onto the scene 14 months ago. This is not a guy that just decided a year ago that he was going to get involved in the political cycle. President Donald Trump, over the last decade, it's important to note, over the last decade, has built a very strong relationship with a large group of voters in this country. He has built a strong and solid and trustworthy relationship with tens of millions of Americans. And I don't believe that Elon Musk understands that. I'm not sure if Elon has any advisors. Seemingly, he's just firing from the hip on all of this. But I don't think that is truly understood. Right? Elon Musk thinks that he's the man of the hour because he rose to so much prominence during the latter half of the 2024 campaign and during the first 100 days of Trump's presidency, right? Anytime you turned on the news, they were talking about Elon, they were talking about Doge. And I strongly believe that Elon Musk liked the limelight. It was obvious that he enjoyed being in front of these crowds. I think it's fair to say that he has got a pretty significant ego, which I'm not saying that is a bad thing. Trump's got an ego too. Most individuals have some level of an ego. It's not inherently a bad thing. But Elon Musk loves being in the spotlight. That is not a disputable fact. Every single time over his 100 days working in the White House, I mean, he was traveling with Trump constantly. Every time Trump was in the Oval Office, almost every time Elon Musk was flanking him, beside him, next to him, talking to him. It was a very, very strong relationship. And Elon Musk loved being part of that conversation. I mean, Christ, Inauguration Day, Elon Musk is giving a speech before the president. So very, very strong relationship. Elon Musk loves the limelight. He loves being a solid... He loves having that solid crowd in front of him, and I think loves being on the stage and in the national conversation. So now he's going out and he's forming this so-called America Party. And while a lot of folks find themselves dissuaded with the Republicans, dissuaded with the Democrats, finding themselves somewhere in between both of the parties, there's a lot of big questions that are left that are yet to be answered as it relates to this movement, to this so-called movement that is being struck and being started here by Musk. What does the America Party mean? This is the tweet that kind of let everything, or the post that kind of let everything go on the 4th of July around 9 a.m. Musk posted this on his X account. Independence Day is the perfect time to ask if you want independence from the two-party system. Some would say uniparty. We'll get into that in a second. Should we create the America Party? And this is the final result of out of 1.2 million individuals. By the way, this was a global poll. 65.4% said yes. 34.6% said no. This was not just a poll conducted in America. This was obviously posted on the X platform. Anybody from across the world could vote for this and take place in this poll. Now, he talks about some of the ways to deal with this. He says, you know, one way to execute on this would be to laser focus on just two or three Senate seats in eight or 10 House districts. Given the razor thin legislative margins, that would be enough to serve as the deciding vote on contentious laws, ensuring that they serve the truth, serve the true will of the people. And so he's essentially not really talking about making a political party, as he claims. He's talking about a super PAC. He's talking about a group that backs candidates that fight for America, that are, I guess, America first, as Trump calls it in his MAGA agenda. And if that's the case, if that's what Elon Musk is bringing forward, I think this is fine. I think that the ability for Elon Musk to back, when you're looking at this, maybe 13 candidates in an election, right? There's how many members in Congress? 400 something members in the House. You've got another 100 in the Senate. If Elon Musk wants to back 13 candidates combined in the House and the Senate, that's his prerogative. That's his will to do so. If he actually wants to go forward and create a third party, the equivalent of a Libertarian Party or a Green Party, he is a moron. Especially if he's only going to be laser focused on a dozen or so races. You don't create a political party to focus on 13 congressional races across the country. You don't need to do that. You can back candidates in either the Democrat or the Republican Party that fit this bill that Elon Musk is claiming is not currently met by the president. But here's the reality of the situation and what Elon Musk, I don't think, understands, because he is not and has not been involved in the political system long enough. At the end of all of this, if he goes forward and actually creates a third party, it will only cause the Democrats to rise to power. This so-called America Party will only fracture Republicans more and cause the Democrats to win. Now, I will contend with you that Elon Musk might be okay with that, because he's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. He does not have conservative and Republican tendencies. And I will caution individuals and maybe throw some shade on those on the right. We always do this. When individuals come closely aligned with things that we believe or say things that we agree with, we are immediately under the impression that these people are hardcore conservatives, that these people are hardcore Republicans in everything in which they believe. And that's just not the case. I feel very similar the way that I do about Joe Rogan, who, by the way, I love. I'm currently listening to one of his more recent episodes. I think it was last week he did with a data researcher talking about AI. I listen to multiple Joe Rogan episodes a week. He had Bernie Sanders on about 3 weeks ago. Listening to that episode, it is blatantly obvious and clear that Joe Rogan is not a conservative, that Joe Rogan is not even a Republican. There's no problem with that. I'm not offended by that. I don't have an issue with that. But we on the right often fall into this trap over and over and over again when you've got a celebrity, when you've got a person of prominence like Elon Musk, like Joe Rogan, that is not towing the Democrat line, that we immediately assume and jump to the conclusion, oh, this person's a hardcore conservative. This person's a hardcore Republican. It's just not true. And we fall for this same thing over and over again, only to then be let down when we find out said person, who, by the way, never claimed to be a conservative, never claimed to be a Republican, we then find ourselves let down when that person doesn't act on these political ideologies that we have unfairly attributed to them. We do this constantly. We do it with people like Joe Rogan, Elon Musk, actors and musicians. Oh, they said something bad about the Democrats, therefore they are a Trump conservative through and through. Those two things don't have to exist in the same place. You can disagree with what the Democrat Party is doing and still vote for Democrats. You can disagree with what the modern Democrat Party is doing and still be a liberal. The same way that you can be a conservative or be a Republican and disagree with things that are going on within the Republican Party. You can be critical of the one big beautiful bill and some of the increases in the debt ceiling. That's a fair opinion to have. But it doesn't necessarily make you part of one group or the other. But what I can say without a shadow of a doubt this morning is that forming a third party, so-called America Party, will cause the Democrats to not only regain power, but will likely cause them to hold power indefinitely. It will allow the Democrat Party to continue what they started during the Barack Obama years, which is, frankly, the complete and total destruction of America as we know it. These individuals on the left want to welcome in some sort of socialist, communist, Marxist utopia into America. They believe that our system, they believe that our country is no good. They believe that the things that we stand for are no good, that capitalism is evil, that this country is inherently racist and sexist, and to somehow patch up the ill wills of the past, that the only solution forward is to will in socialism, Marxism, and communism throughout government. That's what these people stand for. That's what they want. And Elon Musk starting a third party will only expedite that process. Republicans will never win elections again, and Democrats will be in power, and then Elon Musk can sit on his Twitter account and talk about how terrible things have become. Meanwhile, it will be his own fault. I can state this morning that I am adamantly opposed to the creation of a third party like this. Do I love the two-party system? No. Do I love everything that Republicans do? No. But that's okay. This concept, and I really do need to kind of dig in on this. This concept, this idea that a political party, which is a vast organization, right? Nobody's going to argue that a political party, especially the Republican or Democrat Party, is a monster-sized group. The idea that that group agrees with you, or you agree with that group 100% of the time, I think is insane, is complete and total insanity. I have made the point for years now, back when I was on the radio here in Wilmington, and I'll make it again this morning. You should never agree with a political party or even a political candidate 100% of the time. That is not a good thing. Right. One of the great things and what really makes the Republican Party unique is our ability to have independent thought, our ability to look at a series of problems and come up with a series of solutions. They don't have that on the left. They are all just sing off of the same sheet of music when they get their talking points from the top. Right, when there's a Democrat president in the Oval Office, the talking points come out from them. They trickle all their way down through the Democrat Party, and that's what everybody says. Right, it's a bunch of sheep just baaing the exact same thing. We don't have that on the right. it's our greatest strength, and it also can be our greatest weakness, because there's this weird fixation with this fact that you have to agree with every single politician 100% of the time because they have an R next to their name. That's not healthy. We should be allowed, and we in fact are allowed on the Republican side of the aisle, to have independent thought. While I think that Thomas Massie is a complete jackass, while I believe that the vast majority of his votes are incredibly stupid, I'm not necessarily upset that he is in Congress. I think what he's doing is a disservice to the people of Kentucky. If I lived there, I wouldn't vote for him. But I think that's healthy. Right? The thing that we're so critical of the left on is that there's no debate. That they don't have real primaries. Oh, I don't know, circa the last presidential election where Joe Biden, after getting annihilated in a debate with Donald Trump, drops out, and the next thing you know, Queen Kamala is their candidate. We, I guess, want the same thing on the right, because that's what we advocate for. Anybody that descends on the conservative side, on the Republican side, is immediately a rhino or part of the Uniparty. And I'm going to just call both of those terms complete and total bullshit. I'm just going to call it out, because they're so overused and they're used to describe people constantly in such a ridiculous manner that they no longer have any meaning. When you run around and claim that every single Republican that does not agree with you 100% of the time is a rhino, the term no longer means anything. The term no longer has any meaning. And I don't know why Republicans, who again are so critical of the left over this inability to have free speech, this inability to have independent thought, are of the mindset that every single Republican, thousands of them, tens of thousands of them throughout the country in elected office, up in D.C., in state government, in local government, why every single one of them has to have the same thought. Do you want to be the Democrat Party? Do you want to just sing from the same sheet of music 24/7? Do you not want to have independent thought? I do. I don't agree with everything that Trump does. I don't agree with everything that Republicans do. But what I do know for a fact is that the Republican Party is the best vehicle and the best avenue for my interests almost 100% of the time. The Democrat Party and the things that they stand for are almost always completely in abject to what I believe. So I know for a fact that while everything the Republicans do isn't perfect, and that's fine, I know for a fact that candidates with an R next to their name are always better than D's. I know that Republican candidates will always govern closer to my ideology than Democrats. Will I agree with them 100% of the time? No. Do I have to agree with them 100% of the time? Also, no. But who's closer? A Republican that votes with me 85% of the time, or a Democrat that votes with me 0% of the time? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll contend to you that the answer is very clear and very obvious. It is Republicans 100% of the time. And individuals that say that, oh, well, I'm not going to vote for this Republican because they did this one thing that I disagree with, that's fine. You're allowed to have that opinion. You're allowed to have that thought. And I am also allowed to call you out for being stupid. I am also allowed to call you out for giving Democrats power. And unless you are just a closeted Democrat secretly portraying yourself as a Republican, you are going to get 0% of what you want when you elect Democrats. Tom Tillis is the greatest example of this. I didn't love the guy in 2020, and I didn't want to vote for Tom Tillis in 2020, but I didn't have a choice. The alternative was a radical progressive known as Cal Cunningham. And I knew that my option was between Tom Tillis, who of course has announced he's not running for re-election, but my option was either Tom Tillis or a flaming progressive liberal. And I am not going to vote for a flaming progressive liberal or just not vote at all because I don't like everything that Tom Tillis does. That I don't like every single vote that he casts. It doesn't make any sense. You can get 80% of what you want with somebody like Attilis, or 0% of what you want with a Democrat like Cal Cunningham. But that's the calculation that I do in my head. That's how I justify my voting record. Does this candidate, do these sets of candidates get me closer to the political ideology that I hold or not? And I will contend with very, very few exceptions that Republicans will always get me closer to what I believe is a conservative than Democrats. Are there one-off or two-off issues where Democrats might be better on an issue? Sure. But I'm not going to form my entire voting apparatus based on one thing that I agree with the Democrats on. One thing that they do better than the Republicans. Who gets me closer to living my life without government intrusion? It's the Republicans. Every single time. Who allows me and gives me a closer opportunity to live in America, to go out and operate a business, to make money, to spend money in a free market system? What party is that? It's the Republican Party. Every single time. Those are the core beliefs. Those are the core things that make up the tenets, or at least some of the tenets of conservatism. And so this idea that you are somehow going to split away from the Republican Party with 13 members of Congress and take over Washington, D.C. makes absolutely no sense. There's no logic in it. There's no viable path to any victory. You will just guarantee a Democrat president in the White House and Democrat control in Congress. That's what you'll end up with. And if you're okay with that, which it seemingly Elon Musk is, that's fine. You're allowed to do that. We allow you to have those opinions on the right. But I think for somebody like Elon Musk, who I genuinely don't know what political party he aligns closer to, because I don't really know a whole hell of a lot about his ideology. I know he's apparently against waste, fraud, and abuse. I think the Republicans are closer to that than the Democrats are. But he also is a big fan of government handouts. He also, his stance on things like the Second Amendment are not very strong. His thoughts on a variety of other so-called Republican or conservative elections are not very good. It just doesn't. It just doesn't work. So for Elon Musk, if he's frustrated, if he's pissed off with what's going on in Republican circles, if he's pissed off about the big, beautiful bill, then the solution is simple. Back stronger Republican candidates in Congress. Create a super PAC and fund their campaigns. Oust some Republicans that you would call rhinos. Oust Republicans that are not voting in an agenda that you believe supports America. But if you create this third party, you essentially just, you just look up at Canada and see what goes on there. They've got, what, like 17 political parties? What happens every single time? Democrats win. Case in point, the last election. The system just doesn't work like that. You want a primary candidates with or primary candidates that aren't America first enough? You want a primary candidates that aren't strong enough conservatives? Go hog wild. I appreciate that, and I look forward to that. But if Elon Musk goes forward with creating a third party, you can take this to the bank. Republicans will continue to lose elections at the state level and the national level. Democrats will seize power and destroy our country. That I can absolutely guarantee you is the result if Elon Musk wants to go forward with this. I've got some comments from President Donald Trump on this third party coming up. We'll get into those here in just a few minutes. Before that, I want to tell you about the Law Group. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, they are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088. Or online, their website is lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. Appreciate the Law Group and thank them for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We'll continue with this discussion of the America Party. We'll get some of your live comments in here this morning as well on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and the thoughts from President Donald Trump as well. As the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live this morning on a Monday, YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully you had a great 4th of July weekend. We are chatting this morning about the America Party. That's what Elon Musk claims he wants to create. And I want to touch on one thing before we get to some of President Donald Trump's comments. Elon Musk mentioned this, and this is something I hear on the right pretty often, and I have to call it out. Going back to his post over the weekend, Independence Day is the perfect time to ask if you want independence from the two-party, some would call uniparty system. This whole idea, this concept of the so-called uniparty is something that I've never really been able to understand. And I'll just use this example for it. This idea, the uniparty, is defined by many on the right as, well, the Democrats and the Republicans are just the same thing. And just looking at that at face value, it makes absolutely no sense. But look at the situation that we're in right now. If you look at who is in the Oval Office now compared to who could be in the Oval Office from the Democrats, are you of the mindset, are you of the opinion that Donald Trump and Kamala Harris would be governing exactly the same? Because if you claim and make the point that we are just a uniparty, that there is no substantial difference between Democrats and Republicans, then you would be okay with Kamala Harris being in the White House right now. I do not believe that. I do not believe under any stretch of the imagination that Kamala Harris would be governing the exact same way as Donald Trump. I do not believe for a second that Kamala Harris would be leading efforts like Donald Trump is. Let's just look at the border as a great example. What did border crossing numbers look like under the Biden-Harris administration? You had hundreds of thousands of individuals a month being stopped at the U.S.-Mexico border. As of June of this year, the border crossings, the southern border between Mexico and the United States, was 8,000 crossing attempts in the month of June. 8,000 compared to hundreds of thousands in the month, in June, in the years prior, 23, 24, 22, and 20. So there's just one small example, an example I believe is pretty important, but just one small example of this concept shattering this idea that Republicans and Democrats are just the same thing. Do you believe that if Kamala Harris was in the Oval Office right now, that you would have peace deals being brokered in the Middle East? Benjamin Netanyahu, who I'm not a huge fan of, is said to be in the United States today to continue to discuss ceasefire deals not only between Iran, but between Gaza, the Hamas terror group that is operating in the Gaza Strip. Do you think that would be happening under a President Harris? Do you believe that those discussions would be taking place if Queen Kamala was in the Oval Office? Do you believe that NATO would have increased their 5% increase their GDP push and threshold to 5% if Kamala Harris was in the Oval Office? Do you think that would have happened? Do you believe that there would have been an executive order protecting women in women's sports under a President Harris? The answer to all of those questions are no. Because there is a substantial difference between Republicans and Democrats. They are not the same people. They do not govern the same. They do not have the same core political ideologies. Now, if you are a uniparty person, you are going to contend to me that, Nick, you know, corporate influence and all of this other stuff, both parties have that. Sure. Of course, there's going to be things that both parties have similar. There's two political parties. There are going to be crossovers. It's a Venn diagram. There is a small circle in the middle where there is crossover. But this concept, this idea that Republicans and Democrats are just the same thing and we need a third party to change that makes absolutely no freaking sense. I can't, under any stretch of the imagination, wrap myself around to this concept. I do not understand it because nobody ever makes a salient argument. You see those on the right claim, oh, it's a uniparty that's taking place. I watched a debate last week between Dinesh D'Souza, who you, many of you are probably very familiar with. He has written a lot of books, has done a lot of movies, and this guy named Nick Fuentes. And this Fuentes guy made the point over and over again that Democrats and Republicans are the same thing. Now, he claims to be America first, yet he didn't vote for Donald Trump, and I think he voted for Kamala Harris. So how could you be of the mindset that Kamala Harris is an America first candidate? How could you be of the mindset that the former vice president of the United States would have provided more America first policies than Donald Trump? Like, where are you basing that on? What sort of evidence are you using to back up that opinion? What basis do you have to make that conclusion? And the answer is, to me, still undefined, because none of these folks that make these claims ever back it up. But they'll use a couple of things like, oh, well, we'd still be funding Israel. So on. Yeah, but like, our political system is bigger than that. You can't just use one issue and claim, oh, these two political parties are exactly the same. Look at the slew of executive orders that President Donald Trump has signed into office, or has signed since he's been in office. Do those executive orders, do you think a Democrat would have done those? Do you believe a Democrat would have signed the men and women's sports thing? I mean, we've got examples here in North Carolina. Governor Josh Stein vetoed a bill Thursday of last week that does not protect men and women's, does not protect women in women's sports. So no, Democrats would not have done that. Do you think Democrats like Harris would have dealt with the immigration problem? I mean, Christ, she was in the executive branch for 4 years. Joe Biden crowned her border czar. And you had tens of millions, potentially 20 plus million individuals crossing into the United States illegally under her watch as the border czar. So don't give me this line that these two parties are exactly the same. Don't gaslight me into this notion that Republicans are no better than Democrats. Democrats seek the complete and total destruction of the United States. Does that mean Republicans are perfect? No. Does that mean that every idea that comes out of Trump's mouth or John Thune's mouth or Mike Johnson's mouth is perfect? No, definitely not. And as I mentioned before the break, I will contend to you that it is a good thing that you have political disagreements with those in your own party. What makes the Republican Party, what makes conservatives so unique, is our ability to have free thought, is our ability to discuss issues on an open platform, to have disagreements on how to handle issues. That is a good thing. It is not inherently bad. And I will never be able to understand why so many on the right want every single Republican to be hook, line, and sinker with every other Republican. Then at that point, you are just the Democrats. We should be allowed to discuss our differences. We should be allowed to have civil debate, civil discussion on why we disagree on an issue, whether it's, oh, I don't know, funding in Ukraine. It's a great example. There are Republicans that believe that we have given too much money to Ukraine and we shouldn't give any more. There are other Republicans that believe that we haven't given them enough and we need to continue giving them money. We need to give them more. Those are two fine opinions to have. I agree with one of them. But because somebody disagrees with that, they now shouldn't be part of our party, even though they might side with us on 90%+ of the issues. We're now just going to cast this person off on a raft and just say, see you later? And what, get a Democrat in power? replace that Republican that we disagree with an issue on with a radical, progressive, woke liberal? That's your solution to our political discourse? That's your solution to solving political issues and political disagreements on the right? Let's just cast Republicans away and vote for Democrats? Maybe you are a Democrat. I don't know. If that's the case, then yes, that would be a great thing to do. But I'm not a Democrat. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. And I want Republican candidates to win. Even, I know this is going to be shocking to some of you, I want Republican candidates to win, even if I don't agree with them 100% of the time. Because what I do know for certain is that a Republican in office is better than a Democrat every single time. Every single time. There's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts. A Republican, based on my political ideology, based on the things that I believe in, it is always better to have a Republican in office than a Democrat. Plain and simple. Done. No need for any more discussion on it. So here is President Trump discussing this yesterday after he's outside of a helicopter, once again, speaking to the media, the most transparent administration that we've ever had. The press has never had more access to a president outside of Trump's first term than they do right now. So here's the president yesterday with this news of the America Party. These are some of the president, some of the comments from President Trump.
Starting a third party.
I think it's ridiculous to start a third party. We have a tremendous success with the Republican Party. The Democrats have lost their way, but it's always been a two-party system. And I think starting a third party just adds to confusion. It really seems to have been developed for two parties. Third parties have never worked. So he can have fun with it, but I think it's ridiculous.
President, what's Golden Keyback? Golden Keyback from Elon.
Go ahead.
So there you go. You've got the president making the point that it's ridiculous that the Republican Party is moving forward. Getting some commentary in on our live chats this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. It seems like Elon's initiative is for spite and not getting his way. I agree with that completely. He has called Democrats commies in the past, yet he will cause that to rise with this third party. And that's exactly the case. Now, again, if Elon Musk's grandiose plan here is to back stronger Republican candidates, I will applaud that. I think that's a great idea. I do believe that in many cases, we do need stronger America First Republicans in Congress, right? I think Tom Tillis is a good example of that. Would it be better to have a stronger Republican? Yes. But if the option is between Tom Tillis and a radical progressive Democrat like Wiley Nickel or Jeff Jackson or Roy Cooper, I want Tom Tillis every day of the week. Tom Tillis will be my best friend if those are the four options in front of me. Tillis, Wiley Nickel, Jeff Jackson, or Roy Cooper. Those three are radical, progressive liberals. In some cases, incredibly radical. Tom Tillis is better than any of them every single day of the week. Is he perfect? No. Does he disagree with some things that I believe? Yes. But I can tell you this. I agree with Tom Tillis on more issues than I do with Roy Cooper, Cal Cunningham, or Roy Cooper, Wiley Nickel, or Jeff Jackson. Because I agree with those three on arguably nothing. Almost nothing. It would be a statistical error for me to say that I agree with them on anything. And it goes back to the, and this is a quote from, at this point, almost 50 years ago, Ronald Reagan's quote about a friend versus an enemy. He makes this point of, he makes this concept and makes this point that having an individual that is more closely aligned with you does not make somebody an enemy. And the quote is, it's kind of paraphrased, but the quote is, the person who agrees with you 80% of the time is an 80% friend and not a 20% enemy. I'll say that for you again. This is a quote from Reagan from the mid-80s, 50 years old. The person who agrees with you 80% of the time is an 80% friend and not a 20% enemy. And I wish more conservatives, more Republicans would understand that that quote, that comment there from President Reagan. Because it's the God's honest truth. And when you are actively backing a candidate or a slew or a set of candidates that do not agree with you on anything, that do not agree with you on 99% of what you believe, do you think, do you feel that you're going to get a better America? Are you under the impression that you're going to be living in a better state, a better municipality, a better city, voting for Democrats than Republicans? I don't think so. I can't subscribe to that notion. I can't subscribe to that idea in any way, shape, or form. And so as we round out the conversation this morning, I am very curious to see how this goes forward with Elon Musk. Again, a guy who has not been involved in the political system all that long. A guy that up until about 14 months ago, his involvement with government consisted of getting hundreds of millions of dollars worth of government contracts and government subsidies. That was it. That he now has all of a sudden all of the solutions and answers to 250 years worth of government. I'm going to be inherently skeptical of that. Do I think Elon Musk is a bad person? No. Do I think that Elon Musk and I agree on issues? Yes. However, I strongly am of the opinion that the way that he is going about this is incredibly destructive to the Republicans, is incredibly destructive to the MAGA movement, and is incredibly destructive to the agenda that is being put forth by President Donald Trump. Elon Musk is on the outs. He was a 100-day temporary employee of the federal government. He loves being in the limelight, and he is, for whatever reason now, completely freaking out on social media and having some sort of an existential crisis over the fact that he's not the center of the political world anymore. That's what it seems like to me. I don't know Elon personally. I've never talked to Elon Musk, but it seems like that's what's going on. He cannot wrap himself around the idea that the political circle and the political system does not revolve around him. And I would say it's tendencies of somebody who's an egomaniac because it's not revolving around him. He's not the top story on the news at 6 p.m. every night. He's not standing by with President Donald Trump. He's not talking to him in the White House for hours on end each and every day. He wants to get back into that circle, and his solution is to create a third party that will lead to the destruction of the Republicans, give the Democrats essentially complete and total exclusive power, and you and I know what happens there. You continue the Barack Obama campaign for 8 years of the complete and total destruction of the fabric of America. That's what the result is, plain and simple. Do we need stronger Republican candidates? Sure. Would I support somebody like Elon Musk backing strong Republicans in a dozen or so races? Absolutely. I think we want the strongest individuals up in Washington, D.C. But I will never support him in this conquest to create a third party. It is so incredibly stupid and so incredibly short-sighted. It has no viable path to any sort of victory. He admits so, claiming, oh, we're going to focus on about 12 races. Great. So you're going to change the entire government. You're going to completely change Congress, which has over 500 members with 12 people. Give me a freaking break, Elon. Appreciate his service. Think what he did with the Department of Government Efficiency was great work. I think what he's doing with SpaceX and Tesla and Starlink are absolutely incredible. But he is dead wrong on this concept, this idea that he is going to somehow create a third party and make America better. He is completely out to lunch on this issue. We'll get your continued feedback in our on our show. You can comment on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe over there. You can keep up to date with the show on YouTube. We stream live there each and every weekday morning. Also get a lot of great comments after the fact over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/The Nick Craig Show. Hopefully you will join us over there. Quick programming note for those watching live this morning or after the fact, I will be sitting in for Vince Coakley this morning on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. I'll be live at 10 to noon on Vince's show. This is the main topic. We'll be taking your phone calls and text messages. You can also catch that podcast after the fact as well. Looking forward to sitting in for Vince and chatting more about this later on. Thanks to the Law Group for their continued support of the show. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Candidate filing for municipality elections opens today. We'll have a complete analysis and recap of that coming up tomorrow morning right here on The Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.